Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I want to go directly to what's happening in Iraq and this Islamic caliphate. And we've been sharing about this for quite a while on VFN Radio, VFN TV, about, you know, radical Islam and their agenda for an Islamic state and instituting Sharia law. And we've noticed and we've shared on VFN TV the consequences of just Sharia being introduced in 100 courts in Great Britain, where Great Britain now is saying that they need to teach British values in their school system because of the Sharia law. That's, you know, Muslims and radical Muslims are doing in that nation. They're forcing a lot of the children out. And we'll make sure this is a related segment for you because it goes into more detail. But I want you to listen to a report or watch a report from CBN as they interview an author of a new book called Crucified Again. And he shares some insight into ISIS and what their organization means even to the West. Watch this.
Raymond Ibrahim joins us now. He's the author of Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. Great to have you back on the broadcast. ISIS, who are they? What are their ultimate goals? Help our viewers understand what's going on with this group.
Their ultimate goal is the ultimate goal of all the Islamic radical jihadists, from Al-Qaeda to even the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the resurrection of a caliphate and the enforcement of Islamic Sharia law.
Now, let me talk to you about this, because we have on CBN News and across our platforms, we have been talking about this for a number of years. And it was, in some ways, like a pipe dream. I mean, this is impossible, to resurrect the Ottoman Empire, the caliphate. You know, but now it seems more like a reality. They've got half of Iraq, a good swath of Syria. Right. Is it possible today?
It is possible. It'll take time. You know, the Taliban in Afghanistan had the same aspirations, and other organizations, wherever there's a vacuum, an Islamist or jihadist go in, that's the new emirate, the Islamic emirate, which they hope will eventually grow and grow and grow. So, yes, it is a realistic possibility, but it will take time.
And for them, they have a long view of history, obviously.
Not like us.
Right. And explain to us, what is a caliphate?
The caliphate is... historically, after the Islamic prophet Muhammad died, it became the government, the Islamic polity, which, of course, is the fundamental reason why Islam is different than the West, because in the caliphate, religion and state are one and the same. Islamic law is what legitimizes the rule of an Islamic ruler. And the caliphate's primary business is to expand, to expand territory and bring infidels under its authority. And that's what it did historically.
And when you look at what's taking place today in Mosul, in northern Iraq, when they came into town, just this week we've been seeing pictures of ISIS soldiers on the streets of Mosul handing out Quran to folks who are driving on the streets. Can you give our viewers an understanding of what does Sharia law look today for the residents of Mosul and all these different cities that they have captured?
Well, I'll give you the best example is the Pact of Omar, or the Conditions of Omar, which is an old Islamic teaching, which is what justifies, as you may know it, the Mitude, which is basically keeping Christians and non-Muslims suppressed. And so ISIS is now in these regions forcing Christians to live according to this 14-century-old pact, in which it includes things like do not build churches, you can't renovate churches, you have to wait until they crumble, you can't show your crosses, you can't talk about your religion.
You have to pay a tax.
You have to pay a tribute, jizya, monetary tax, and you're basically a third-class citizen. And now they are enforcing this, and it's we're reliving history of 1400 years.
Can we talk about the influence of foreign jihadis? There is a big concern amongst Western intelligence agencies, from Great Britain to Germany, France, the United States, that there are a huge number of foreign fighters on the battlefield in Iraq and Syria, and the concern is that these folks will come back to the Western world, come back to the United States. Are you concerned about this?
I am, and the thing is, we have absolutely perfect precedent. If you go back to Al-Qaeda, Afghanistan, most of those fighters, they were not even Afghani. They were Arabs coming from all around the world, because this is the jihad theater. We're going to go, we're going to conquer, we're going to build up a new emirate. And we saw how that ended up with 9/11. And so in Syria, it's the same thing. You got Saudis, you have Westerners, you have Australians, you have Chechens, and they're all there. And again, you know, that sheds light on the nature of this so-called rebellion. This isn't Syrians fighting for freedom. This is jihadis out to conquer land for themselves.
And for them, the more diverse the group is, the more appealing tempting it becomes to young, impressionable Muslims out there around the world.
And meanwhile, the average Syrian, who supposedly this is in their name, is ostracized, sidelined, and now you can understand why so many of them are supportive of Assad, who is the better alternative.
What should the United States, I mean, the U.S., the White House is in such a predicament. Mm. Because on one hand, they supported elements of ISIS in Syria against the Assad regime. Now we have this chaos in Iraq, the potential fall of the al-Maliki government. Mm-hmm. What should the United States do? Can it do anything? Or should it just sit back and watch them slaughter each other?
Well, it should at least sit back and reassess. Mm-hmm. Because up until now, in my opinion, all the groups that the United States has been supporting have not been the groups that we should be, from the Muslim Brotherhood, from the so-called rebels in Syria, and all these, and the Al-Qaeda-linked guys who were in Libya, who ousted Muammar Gaddafi. So we need to at least take a break back and really reassess the situation and try to figure out who are the good guys and who are the bad guys, mm-hmm. and actually, why don't we support the good guys?
And unfortunately, the good guys, in many cases, the Christians, they are caught in the crossfire, aren't they?
Always. They're in the crossfire. They know, they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't. They're infidels, mm-hmm. they're minorities, they're outnumbered, they're ostracized, they have no weapons, and so they're the easiest and quickest targets.
And obviously the big concern, last few seconds, the Christians in Mosul and the biblical cities of Nineveh and so forth, they're going to Kurdistan, they're trying to get out of the region,
Ironically, in Iraq, after the war, and more than half of the Iraqi indigenous Christian population fled, many of them to Syria. Now, they and the Syrian Christians are trying to flee out of Syria because the same pattern has come to them and they're running out of places to go.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. Raymond, as always, thank you so much. The book, again, is called Crucified, again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. As always, sir, thank you for being
George.
On the broadcast.
Awesome. Amazing, amazing. You're just hearing the interview between George Thomas and Raymond Ibrahim, author of Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, and you're getting an insight into ISIS, the Islamic State for Iraq and Syria, and what they are doing and what they plan to do. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about this more and see what is happening across the Middle East and what we can do as believers to stand in the gap. We were talking about, and actually watching the interview between George Thomas from CBN and Ibrahim as he was discussing what is happening in Iraq, what is happening in Syria, and potentially what could be happening here in the U.S. And there were some really interesting things that he was talking about as far as the jihadists and what their goal is. It's always been the same, which is Islamic caliphate, total control and expansion, and bringing everyone else into their servitude. You know, there's only three options, you know, convert, submit,
or die,
or off with your head. Yeah, you know, there's only three options. And so, it was really interesting, you know, the Islamic caliphate, that religion expands through territory, by conquering territory, moving into territory, and then they bring in Sharia law, which is a combination of government and religion to one state. Mm-hmm. Well, Christianity is different in so many ways, but in particular, the kingdom of God doesn't expand necessarily by physical territory, but it expands when it enters into the heart of another person, because the king takes residence in their hearts. And, you know, you're looking at this type of stuff and you're thinking, my goodness, you know, this is serious business. And what they're doing in, they're coming in to oppress anyone that's not a Muslim. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they were talking about is the oppression of Christians by the way of a jizya. It's a tax. And we've shared this before on VFN TV, but it's a tax for all non-Muslims that they have to pay. And we're going to talk about what has happened in Iraq because a Christian was not able to pay this jizya. Now, we're going to talk about this here in a minute, but this is crazy. This is horrific. You see how just evil is when you start looking at what people are doing to other human beings. Listen, just it doesn't make sense because it's a plan of the enemy. It's a strategy. You can't make sense of Satan. Just can't make sense of it. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing horrific things and torturing people and killing them, it just never, ever ends well. And to think that, you know, the question was, you know, will it come back to the U.S.? Well, they're recruiting jihadists from the United States. There's a report saying that there are those that are going to fight in this war from the U.S. And then the FBI and the police departments are actually keeping an eye on them for when they come back in return because they feel like they're major threats to the U.S. security. And so it's important for us to continue to pray, to be alert and watch. But just recently what happened in Iraq is horrific. A father committed suicide. I'm going to tell you why he committed suicide. This is in Iraq, and this proves the point of what ISIS is doing. This is the Christian Post reporting this. But a father had to watch. They had to watch his wife and his daughter get brutally raped by members of the militant group ISIS. Why? Because they couldn't pay them the poll tax, which is the jizya. They couldn't pay him. This happened in Mosul, in Iraq, and the man wound up killing himself because he just couldn't bear under that type of grief and that type of just insanity of what happened. Well, so you're talking about a religion that says, you know, you're going to cut off the hand of somebody.
Right.
Because they broke a law, quote unquote, right? They would say they sinned. But I'm interested to know, would they cut their own hand off if they caught themselves in their breaking of the law or quote unquote sin? Would they cut their own hand off? You know, and Jesus said figuratively, listen, take your own eye out, cut off anything that would hinder you from coming into heaven. And it's like, you know, it's not about attacking somebody else, but it's about looking inwardly. But it's all twisted, just completely all twisted. And so what we can do as a believer, what you can do as a Christian, is one, stay informed. That's why we're trying to bring you a biblical perspective as to what is happening in the Middle East. Why? So you can, one, be informed, but secondly, so that you can get involved and pray. You know, prayer is our number one asset. It's our number one tool that we can use to communicate with God, to advance God's will upon the earth, and to pray for the safety of the Christians that now are being pushed out everywhere.
Absolutely. You know, and that's one of the things that just really stands out is in that they said over half of the Christian population in the area had to flee because that's one of their major focuses is anyone that's Christian or non-Muslim is to submit underneath that leadership. And it's just like, when you look at that, it's just like you think about the focus of prayer in that area and those in that region and how much they're seeking the Lord and seeking God's direction and seeking God's protection. And it's just here in the West, or if you're not encountering that, you might not result to prayer so quickly. And it's just like, we have to intercede for them. We have to understand. It's just like, imagine if we had family on a vacation and they're going through a difficulty and it's like, all of a sudden we're connected. And it's just like, that's Jesus. That's the body of Christ. And that just, we've got to heighten our attention and heighten our priorities to intercede for them because they're going through those difficulties.
Whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done unto me. And so when we're standing in the gap like that in prayer, because prayer requires time, it requires effort, it requires that you, you know, deny yourself of whatever you could be doing because you're praying with intentionality, you're praying with purpose, and you're praying in faith, you know, for their safety. And so we want to encourage you to do that. But you're looking at a religion that says it's okay to you know cut off and maim someone. If you're not a Muslim, you're going to be a servitude. You're going to either off with your head or you're going to convert. I mean, there's only really only three options. And it's the same type of thing that happened there with Miriam Ibrahim in Sudan. You know that she has been released. But prior to that, she was rearrested. And the reason she was rearrested, they said, because she falsified documents as she was trying to leave. You know what the falsification of her document was? She put her Christian name as opposed to the Muslim name that she was given at birth.
Right.
And that was considered falsifying documents.
Right.
And it's like, if you're born in, you're in. Well, no. In Christianity, you have a choice. You have a choice to serve God. You have a choice to give your heart to Jesus and to serve him out of your love and out of dedication. And I'm encouraged by all the many Muslims that have converted and have come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There has been an amazing wave of that occurring, and it's still happening, and the church is getting involved. One of the things they discussed was that wherever they see a vacuum, the jihadists move on in, and they take advantage of that vacuum. Well, it's time for us as the church to fill that vacuum. It's time for us to send missionaries who are willing to go where no man has been before and go and say, listen, I'm going to give my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to give my life for, you know, the Iraqis. I'm going to give my life for people to come to know Jesus. oh, that's a little radical, I'm not sure. Well, think about what happened to the Moravians. Two young men who were caught up in God in a prayer meeting, God spoke to them, and they decided to sell themselves as slaves because the man who owned slaves, there was 100 slaves on this island, he said no man would ever preach the gospel to them, and this was a known thing. So they left everything, left their families, got onto a boat, never to return again. Mm-hmm. For the opportunity, not for the guarantee that all any right. slave would they would have the chance to preach to them, hear to them, or what would happen to them if they were caught preaching to them mm-hmm. the good news. And they left everything behind, entrusted their families to the rest of the brothers and the sisters of God in that community. And as the story goes, as they're leaving and you can, you know, they're now everyone's crying and just you're barely seeing them and the ship is leaving, one of them stands up and raises his hand and says, may the Lamb who was crucified receive the reward of his suffering. May the Lamb who was slain receive the reward of his suffering. And it's time for that to rise up again in our hearts. Wow. It's time for us to evaluate, what are we living for? You know, life is just a momentary vapor, and we're going to spend eternity with Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're going to get rewards, those who have, you know, lived their lives in such a way. And what a beautiful reward to be able to say, mm-hmm. I left it all on the field. I left it all here, and I gave myself away that others may come to know Jesus. Maybe it's you. Maybe you've been hearing us on VFN TV, and maybe you're feeling a call to the Middle East. Maybe you're feeling a call to reach Muslims in these different affected areas. Well, listen, obey God. You'll never, never, ever regret obeying God. You only have a small window of opportunity to do a great work for Him. Why not it be you?
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.